August 17th, 2010. I want to welcome everyone and also Dr. Eric Prater, who is now an old hand here at San Luis Coastal, and everybody that's here. Also, I'm pleased to announce that Ellen Sheffer and Mark Buckman received the ultimate but elusive voter seal of approval. They didn't have any opposition. So in December, they will be sworn in for their next term. So congratulations. It's a good thing for the district. A couple of other board members still have some work to do, and I'm sure it'll all turn out the way it needs to. I've never had one election where I didn't have any opponents, but that's another story. But so far, so good. So tonight, in closed session, we discussed a personnel matter and direction was given to staff, and we had an update on labor negotiations with CSEA. Now we're in open session, and the first item of business is there consensus on the order of business. Okay. Wow. Let's see. Oh, I mixed up on that. Now we have a number of minutes to approve. Let's do that next. Am I missing anything, Catherine? Don't let me do it. Oh, good. Have you got one? Just one of them? Oh, okay. Good. Anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
And I'll second.
Just a little discussion on number 32. The election is August 17th and not the 22nd.
That correction will be made.
And if you haven't voted, get out there and vote.
He is attending a California School Boards Association Board of Directors meeting. And we will miss him. And he'll be able to watch the meeting due to the hard work of AGP video. Bob. So next on the agenda is correspondence. I don't have any correspondence. You, Kev?
No correspondence.
Okay. No correspondence. So we'll move on to public comment. We don't have any requests to speak. Anybody can address the board on any item. Oh. Okay. So specific item. All right. Anybody want to talk to the board about something that's not on the agenda? Oh, she is coming forward. Okay, give it to the clerk, and then the clerk gives it to me. Let's see. We have a request from Jeannie Burns to speak to the board. Come on up.
I can't tell you what a pleasure it is to see all of you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm Jeannie Burns Slater. I worked for this school district for over 25 years, and I wanted to do an unscheduled public recommendation for Mary Matakovich. This woman has had a profound influence on my life, and I would like to first tell you that I met her when I was chair of the I know I have 3 minutes, so I'll be careful. I met her when I was chair of the Professional Relations and Grievance Committee. I worked with the Teachers Association, and I sat in her office, and we discussed, and I was selected as assistant principal at Laguna, promoted to principal at Laguna. And then the third situation I'd like to share with you is that we worked on our doctorate together. So I spent years driving up and down the coast to Los Angeles, to USC, sharing a dorm room, I mean, spending years with Mary. The fourth piece is a personal piece. And Mary introduced me to my husband. She set up a blind date, and I would not be Jeannie Burns Slater if it wasn't for Mary Matakovich. So I wanted to compliment her publicly in front of all of you and let you know just a sample. I'm just one person of the profound influence she has had on people. Thank you. And I know she wasn't going to be here, but I wanted to be sure and bring her something that we could put on her desk in the morning, maybe. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeannie. Hey, anybody else on scheduled public appearance? Seeing no one, we will move to reports by school staff and administrators. Dr. Prater.
Good evening, trustees. I would like to take a moment in my first official meeting and spend a moment talking about an individual that clearly is a superstar in our district. And she's recognized as such by the acknowledgement from her peers as the San Luis Coastal teacher. Tremendously, I knew the moment I met her that she's a fantastic teacher. And then I found out Rick Robinette told us in cabinet that she was selected as our county teacher of the year. And I think it says a lot about our organization, how we celebrate our people. And I wanted to take this moment to celebrate Kathy Ahern as a fantastic teacher. I was invited to go see her leadership kids the other day. And I tell you, whenever you see that type of energy from a teacher and then from the children, it really reminds us how important it is, the work we do. And I want to introduce Kathy Ahern to you. She's going to share a few words. And I would just like to acknowledge her successes.
I'm honored to be selected to represent San Luis Obispo County as the Teacher of the Year. Teaching is my life. I strive to teach my children the subject matter, but really, there is a lot more to teaching than teaching just the core subjects. I love being able to have a positive effect on kids' lives. Carl Jung said, "An understanding heart is everything in a teacher and cannot be esteemed highly enough. One looks back with appreciation to the brilliant teachers, but with gratitude to those who touched our human feeling. The curriculum is so much necessary raw material, but warmth is the vital element for the growing plant and soul of the child. I am so fortunate to be able to have this amazing opportunity. And lastly, thank you, San Luis Coastal, for providing me with my K-12 education, my first opportunity to teach in a classroom, and for your continuous support to all of us educators. Thank you."
And I just want to say that that picture in the Tribune a week or so ago with you and your kids up at the fair, amazing, amazing. Thank you, Kathy. Congratulations. And let's see, anybody else from the staff? And oh, Mr. Miller, are we going to do that now? Status of the state budget.
Tonight, the budget update, we're going to try something a little bit differently. Let my initial comments suffice to say that there has been no real progress at the state level on the budget. What we have had is some federal action that will impact our budget potentially. It has to do with the Employment Act that recently was passed, that passes to the state of California about $1.5 billion. And it carries with it a requirement that the money be spent on one of three specific actions that a school district can take. One is to recall laid off teachers. The second action is to reduce furlough days for employees. And the third action would be to decrease class sizes and thus create position, and thus all of that money would be passed out to other states for their usages. If the state can convince the feds that we have a plan in place that will present a maintenance of effort, then the problem will become what do you have to do to qualify for those particular dollars? And we still not too sure of how we would fit into that plan as a basic aid district and as a district that didn't lay off or introduce furlough days. But we did have 15 positions reduced through retirement that we might be able to reestablish if we so desire. So my point in telling you is to watch carefully as the details become known. It's one of those cases, the devil's in the details. We'll find out what our requirements are. If the state can qualify, then we will worry about what happens to qualify for us to get the money. So it's just it's positive. It actually works out to be about $1.2 million under the current distribution thinking. We could be distributed up to $1.2 million for this particular purpose. It's not an insubstantial amount of money. I would like to go to the budget that we did pass back in May and talk about some of the tiered budget reductions. This is to go to a couple of points. And during our budget adoption, we have to remember that we were adopting a budget that at the time had no real substance attached to it. We didn't know what the state was going to do. We didn't know what our property taxes were going to be. We didn't know a whole lot about how to structure this budget. One was the first level of budget cuts that staff was recommending to the board to adopt. Tier two was the second. Tier three was the third level, et cetera, down to the fifth level. Inside of the first level was a whole lot of money that was pretty simple to look at, grab a hold of, didn't have a lot of pain attached to it. In the second level, much of the same kind of thing with a little bit more, oh, okay, well, we can accept that. For instance, large bus maintenance would go away. We wouldn't buy any BGT equipment in this year. Things that really didn't impact program or kids. But Tier 3 started to get into program and had some impact upon kids. One of the elements of Tier 3, if you're looking on page 2 of this handout, it's the back of the board item, and Mark had brought this to attention, and then the principals validated the concern, is line item number 29 is called Title IV Backfill. And what we were doing with this particular line item was to establish a contract with the county mental health services for drug and alcohol counseling for students that we deemed to be in need of it. It was about a $21,000 per year cost item. And by putting this in Tier 3 and cutting it, what we were anticipating was is that we would then have the counselors at the high school and secondary sites intervene with kids with drug and alcohol perceived problems and give them some counseling. One of the concerns of the principals and one of the concerns of the board members alerting you that this is going to be a situation where we will take some of our reserves and our resources to at least temporarily establish this contract with the county and then bring it back to the board at some future point. And we have time once we do that. So the first interim, maybe after the state adopts a budget, we'll bring this item back as something that you guys can include or exclude from the budget as you see best. We didn't want to just implement it without board knowledge because obviously your actions in adopting the budget had cut this. But all equally obvious is you didn't know what you were cutting because we didn't give you enough detail to base your decision on. So right now, we're going to bring it back to you sometime in the near future. I'm going to guess November 15th at the earliest, and that's because that'll be about the time of the first interim or the time that the state might have a budget, and we'll go forward with it. Before I see all the lights going on, but before we get to that point, there are specific items inside of Tier 3 which you might not know about, and I would ask you to look at those and perhaps question me on them. There's a second item that I need to inform the board about, and that is our property taxes. Found out this afternoon that the county auditor has finished her number crunching, and our property tax income for the first time in a forever is going to decline by 0.5 percentage point. Okay? We built the budget on a 0.5% increase, which was the same as the first amalgamation of the numbers. The second step is they go to the tax assessor to be placed on individual homes. And the third step is to go to the tax collector's office, who mails us out all of our little notices that we so gladly receive and pay our taxes on, especially if we're part of the school district. We should be happy to pay those taxes. At the end of the day, there's two more renditions for these numbers to go through. I'm hopeful that her preliminary information, although I don't have a historical perspective to hope this too much. She's been very accurate in the past. We'll see what happens. But that's an $843,000 reversal in our budget. And so when we're looking at Tier 1, 2, and 3, when we're looking at what the feds are going to give us potentially, when we're looking at what the state's going to give us potentially, we also have to factor into that for the first time in forever, we've had an actual outright decline in our property tax revenues of $850,000.
And the unitary tax piece, is that likely to...
Actually, the unitary tax stayed very stable. That was almost the same as it was the previous year. Unitary tax is that which PG&E pays for the value of Diablo Canyon.
And before I either let you go on or open it up to questions, I do recall a description of Title IV. I can't remember whether it was in the LEA plan or it was part of the backup materials for the budget. And so when you say that you're going to attempt to enter into a shorter, is it going to be a shorter duration contract?
Just those hours, and then we'll go forward. There's still some work to be done on it. This became rather obvious last week.
Open this to questions, or you have any other additional things? Marilyn, and then Mark.
Thank you. Russell, the program that we're talking about, that would be the student assistance program, the SAP
yes.
program?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's one part of it, actually. But, yeah, it impacts the student assistance program.
That's the part I guess I'm familiar with. What would the other parts of it be?
I'm not sure of the details.
Okay.
Oh, maybe Jackie. Jackie can provide you
Jackie,
with that.
Jackie, do you know?
Student Services has Title IV, or had Title IV in their department. It's the drug and alcohol contracts with the high schools primarily, also the middle schools with some of the Friday Night Live, the sixth grade challenge, so it goes down into the elementary schools as well, also contracts with the drug and alcohol agencies.
Sixth grade challenge is different from the DARE program?
Yes.
Or is that? Okay.
That's different.
Okay.
And so when a high school student has a disciplinary issue around drugs and alcohol, is that the county provides the, what is it, SAP, the group alcohol and drug counseling?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, in conjunction with the counselors on site, but there is the outsource of the drug and alcohol treatment through our contracted with Frank Warren.
So thank you. The SAP program... Like maybe you're best for this, Jackie. It's not an on-demand program. They run the class.
The courses as soon as they can, but it's approximately an 18-week program. Some students stay longer, some of them shorter. And it doesn't always have to be they offend and then they get into it. They also have other therapeutic programs within and run groups within the school sites as well. Some of the school sites contract with them in addition to what the Title IV funds, and so they have additional programs running at the school sites.
Okay, I guess what we see is when we see in expulsion hearings that a student has been assigned to the SAP program prior to coming to us or whatever. So I assume that they aren't self-referring, or are they self-referring to it?
The counselors are doing some of the referrals.
Are the students self-referring?
Not very frequently, no. But parents are also involved.
So our counselors, some of them have the training to provide this kind of drug and alcohol counseling and some don't?
It does depend upon their background previous to the school counseling. Some of them do have more of a therapeutic approach, but many of them work on the academic counseling and then secondarily the social emotional, and then the drug and alcohol is usually, or the other using components are usually the third component. So we do want to try and build our capacity within our schools because this is you know, something that right. is forever. We want to help to build our capacity with our counselors and our teachers as well.
So how would we go about doing that with our counselors? What kind of training?
Is where they're working in conjunction with drug and alcohol groups together.
Okay.
And how long that would take, that's the conversation we need to have.
So the $44,000 that we're talking about, that we, I didn't understand that that was what we were eliminating. I'm sorry, I just was must have been asleep at the switch.
The $44,000 is not only the drug and alcohol contracts. 21,000 of it was drug and alcohol contracts. Other things were the sixth grade challenge, also the crisis intervention training that we provide district-wide, and some of the crisis response when we respond to a death at the in the schools,
right.
the threat assessment teams. So Title IV took care of all of those components. We have been able to utilize our resources within our district to not have to have external funding using the Title IV dollars, except for the drug and alcohol contracts at this time.
Okay, thank you very much.
Are you, is that it, Marilyn?
Yeah.
Mark?
Do you have questions for me or with him?
If I can. Well, whoever's got the answer, I guess, would be the...
I'll wait here.
I have several. First of all, I want to thank Russell Miller for spending some time with me and trying to get a handle on this. It's my understanding we have a ratio right now about 350 students to one counselor. So I just need to understand this. That's a lot of kids to be responsible for.
It's not the state average or the requirement. It's actually an under. The 350 to 1 is less than what the state...
Maybe in terms of some kind of rubric, something where we look at recidivism, something we look at what good we did in return for dollar, because it's my understanding that it was a fairly good program and was working quite well. Those are things that I would like, and I'm going to repeat what Marilyn said. It's my understanding as a board member that this was our first line of defense when we had a child that needed these kinds of services, and this is where they went. So I'm pretty much in favor of continuing to fund this.
All right. That's not actually the decision before us this evening. Anybody else got any questions? So basically what you're looking for is just kind of board consensus to continue to...
This really was just an information item and let you know what we're planning on doing. We don't need a consensus at this point. We will need approvals when we come up to the first interim, and we do those revisions to our budget based upon information we have then. Between now and then, I'm sure we'll have discussions. We'll get a feeling for what you want, and we'll go from there.
And does anybody else have any questions, not to put anyone on the spot, for Russell on any of the other items 3 through 9, 12 through 19, 22 through 30, 33 through 39, that he can answer your questions? Good night, everybody. Thank you very much. Thank you. And Jeannie, thanks for coming by, and that tribute was very nice. And congratulations, Mrs. Does anybody have any questions along those lines? So we will now move on. Item number 4, thank you, which is a resolution regarding the method of election of San Luis Coastal Unified District trustees. And that would be, who's taking the lead on that? Russell is going to take the lead on that one.
Thank you. For many months now, the board has been working on the California Voter Rights Act and its meaning to our district. We have gone through many discussions with legal counsel. We've looked at a few items that we have available to us at this time. And essentially, what you have in front of you tonight is a resolution with a staff recommendation to adopt that is based upon legal counsel from Lozano Smith, that they recommend you take proactive steps to evaluate the voter diversity following the 2010 census. So the 2010 census is going to be available, I think it's in mid-April of 2011. At that time, We will know what the census tells us about the diversity of our community. We will look at our voting patterns over that period of time. And essentially what the resolution says is that in 2011, following receipt of census data and the upcoming general election results in November, to commission a demographic study and expert analysis to determine the history of recent elections. And then it says, if the expert analysis of voting patterns reveals that such a change in the election process in the district is appropriate and required to overcome, quote, racially polarized voting patterns, unquote, then by this resolution, the board commits its 2011 study would show us. So instead of having area-wide elections, you're going to have elections in very focused spheres based upon the demographics of those spheres. If the demographic study so warrants.
Yes. So if it shows the possibility of racially polarized voting, then we go to the next step and look at the...
Then by adoption of this resolution, you're committing yourself to go to the next step.
Right. I think Mr. Buckman put it really well when we were having our discussions about these, and we want to know whether or not our system of electing trustees is fair and represents the community. So... I think this is a good approach for us to do it. It balances the district's concern about using the best available data and trying to conserve our resources, and it'll give us some good guidance in the future. It does require that the board follow up on this study, but it leaves open for a future board to decide what to do with the data once we get it. So I think it's a good approach. Phil?
I like Mark, I want to know if we have a problem with our voting, but I do continue to have a problem with the seventh whereas, where if the board undertakes the process to change the manner of election of board members from at-large to by trustee area. I wanted to go on record as saying that I don't think the by trustee area is a good fit for our community. I like being a board member that visits coastal schools and is concerned about every single school. I don't want to be concerned about a little slice of San Luis or a little slice of any part of this community. So I like the at-large system.
Mark?
I think Ellen was...
Oh, Ellen. Thank you.
I wanted from the southern end of San Luis Obispo to the far reaches of Morro Bay, and we look at it as our district, and that we, every one of us has a responsibility to every student who is involved in our district at any level, and that means a lot to me.
Know when to turn it off. That's good. Thank you, Ellen. Thank you, Phil. So this is we'll open it up to public. Any public comment? And any further board discussion? This is a roll call vote.
We
better have a motion.
Yeah. So. Before, I guess I wasn't sure we were taking action tonight. I have two very minor questions, I think it's item number three and number four on page three. And Kim, you're going to have to help me on this. The district superintendent and his designee. The way that this often reads is or. So this can was, I ask that we make those changes?
Sure. This was drafted for us, and I didn't see that need.
And I think it follows an item number four as well, or his designee. I'd hate to have him just have one choice among all the quality. Okay. Yeah. And with that, I'd like to make a motion to approve this resolution.
So we're approving the resolution subject to the language change?
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. Please.
All right. Motion by Mr. Buckman. Wow. It's always a surprise. Okay, number five is approval of pay board member's salary for permissible absence. Take it away, somebody.
I will move approval of item five.
Okay, so approval of Mr. Unger was that he was absent because he was on CSP.
Yes, I wasn't fast enough there, Marilyn. But I would like to say that Mr. Younger contacted me and said he had a prior commitment in Sacramento as a result of his CSBA obligations.
Okay, so motion by, was it you, Marilyn? And Phil, and second by Phil. Any further discussion? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Passes 6-0. Biennial review of the conflict of interest code number 6. Mrs. Holmes.
This is fairly routine. We have to take a look at this every couple of years to decide if you want to make any changes to the code itself. And the appendix to the code is usually the thing that requires the most review. A few years ago, when we last made a major revision, we incorporated the policies of the Fair Political Practices Commission. So a big detailed review is no longer a burden for us. We have a board bylaw that addresses the generalities. It is a deletion of a position at the Buildings and Grounds Department that was eliminated a few years ago. So there's no longer any need for that position to remain there. Once you do approve this, and we have time if there's something you still want to consider, then I need to send notification of this to the county office and to the County Board of Supervisors, because these are actually presented to the Board of Supervisors for action. And once they approve it, is filed with the county elections office, the county clerk recorder, and becomes official at that point.
Okay. Any discussion? Any member of the public who would like to address the board on this item? Okay. So we're... Mark?
Oh, hang on.
I think we're approving it tonight, aren't we?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I'd like to make approval of the biennial review of conflict interest code with the change to the appendix.
Okay. Any further discussion? Motion by Mark, second by Catherine to approve the biennial review of conflict of interest code with the changes that Mrs. Holmes identified. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Passes 6-0. Next, approval of school-connected organizations. Where's Ilsa?
All right.
Okay.
This is a long and winding road we've embarked upon. And it's very illustrative of the great work, a two-part process that's going to happen. Number one is we're requiring in our policies that's already in place that the school-connected organizations meet certain criteria to establish district approval. And what you see in front of you is the list of organizations that do meet the requirements for district approval at the board level. There's a second requirement, which is that we need to collect some data, record it, and have it in our possession, which establishes their legitimate right to raise tax-deductible funds in support of the schools. We have assurances from all the elementary schools, and most of the aspect of Laguna Middle School also, in terms of the PTA being able to provide us with that information. And we have two of our athletic booster clubs at San Luis High School that are conforming to that requirement. The other and the FFA group at Morro Bay also conforms now to that requirement. The other groups are still in the process of acquiring the necessary IRS and government approvals to be able to do that. We've given them till September 30th to do that. And then after September 30th, they need to suspend their activities. So what we have tonight is a list of all of the schools that we're going to recommend that the board approve the school-connected organizations as meeting the requirements as a school district-approved organization.
And what are those requirements?
Just informational pieces that each organization has. It's not big. It's not complicated.
Okay.
And we need to be added as an additional insured on their insurance policy. That's a big one.
And if I can, Your Honor. Actually, one of the things I think that this was, and I think you brought it up, was to ensure that they comply with Title IX.
Title IX. Yeah.
So I congratulate you on that.
Thank you. And also, you know, it's not directly connected, but there's an emerging issue both in the state and around the country on how schools are trying to make up for shortfalls to provide activities and things for students. The danger is that we get ourselves in a position where a student is forced or a student's family is forced to try to participate in fundraising and things that's really stressful for them. And I just want to make sure we're on guard about that. I mentioned this at the beginning of last school year, too, when I received an email from a dad who had lost his job and was really pretty upset because his child came home from school with some pretty large expectations of her participation in fundraising. We had a good conversation about it, but it did remind me, and we talked about it last year, and I think we need to be mindful that a lot of families are under a lot of stress, and we really appreciate the groups that support our schools, but we just want to be careful about how we go about it and make sure that the money is used well and that we do it according to the requirements of the law.
Or to get board approval. I want to make one more point. Ms. Holmes whispered to me that it's in the board's interest, always has been, Title IX issues. The board's requirements on Title IX must be met in their bylaws in order for them to be district approved. So it's a prominent piece of the bylaw expectation.
Good. And we have the opportunity to hear from Go ahead. Sure. Then we'll hear from Caleb Plord.
Russell, it's proposed that we tonight approve a number of these organizations, and then there are some that are still non-compliant that we're working with.
Correct.
So how will that work? I'm noticing, not to pick on Morro Bay High School, but the Blue and White Boosters, and the Black and Gold Boosters at San Luis, they will be soliciting membership at registration. So are they allowed to go forward with that, absent the meeting these criteria?
Yeah, the deadline is September 30th for them to meet that criteria that was established months ago. They are making very valid, very aggressive approaches in order to solve this problem. It isn't easy. It especially isn't easy for a volunteer organization to fulfill these requirements. It requires special knowledge, CPAs, attorneys. They must be involved in order to get it right. We have here tonight Kayla, who's deeply involved in doing this process with PTA, and she's been indispensable in being able to get the elementaries and the middle school have a CPA within their midst or an attorney within their midst. They're kind of like struggling. And we're helping them as much as we can. But in recognition of the importance of their fundraising activities, in recognition of the time that it's been that they've been engaged in this for years and years and years, I didn't feel it was proper to pull the rug out from them prior to a reasonable amount of time. And September 30th was an arbitrary date.
That's perfect, because it gives them an opportunity to, the perfect opportunity to solicit membership, which they always do.
Right.
And typically, they get a very good response registration. So
right.
Great. I'm glad that they're allowed to go forward, and I'm glad we're helping them as much as we can to meet that deadline. Thanks.
We have a request from Caleb Plord. Please come forward.
And it lands on the floor. Hi, I'm Caleb Plord. Tonight, I'm talking to you with two hats on. I'm here representing the California 24th District PTA, which is our PTA countywide, and the California State PTA, where I sit as the federal legislative advocate. On behalf of the State PTA, I would like to commend the board and the staff of San Luis Coastal for taking on this task of trying to get reins around your parent organizations, From the California 24th District, I would like to thank staff specifically, Russell Miller, Outcult, Dr. Matakovich, for working together through the process. Just like all of the other organizations that haven't finished their work, PTAs are volunteer organizations, and you have this sort of perpetual flow-through of parents, and making it more and more difficult to continue to qualify. And this is the first year ever that they have actually pulled the charters of nonprofit organizations for failing to file the appropriate paperwork. There's paperwork required to go to the Secretary of State, the Attorney General. There are several things that have to be done. So that's why some of these organizations are struggling. As you continue to implement this, that handoff will go much better because they've had to keep those records up to date with the district. So I wanted to thank you on both counts.
Thank you, Kayla. Okay, so what we need to do tonight, and I'll go ahead and make the motion if we're okay with it. I'll move we approve the following school-connected organizations: the PTAs of Baywood, Bishop's Peak, Del Mar, Hawthorne, Los Ranchos, Monarch Grove, Pacheco, Sinsheimer, C.L. Smith Elementary Schools, Laguna Middle School, and Morro Bay High School Aggie Backers. Did I forget Teach? Oh, it's not.
Teach has a booster club that has previously been approved by the board.
Yes, the ones at the right. Yeah. And then eventually we hope everyone will be in compliance and they'll come back for approval for those guys. So can I get a second? Okay, thank you. That's what I said. So, okay, any further discussion? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? And it was me and Ellen. Passes 6-0. And thank you, Caleb, for your help on all this. And keep pushing those other organizations. Next, we have the action consent. The action consent agenda. I've already been warned. Maybe a couple of polls. But we're doing so well tonight. I just want you to know, Eric, this is not a typical pace of our meetings. So let's see. So item one, let me know which ones. Approval of certificated classified personnel items. Acceptance of donations. Disposition of surplus property. Approval of furniture and equipment requests. Approval of purchase orders. Approval of warrants and payrolls. So I'll move approval of items 10, 11, and 13.
And I'll second.
Okay, any discussion on those three items? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Those items pass 6-0. Number 8, take it away, Mark.
Very briefly, I'd like to congratulate Rick and the rest of the district for being able to clone Carol Oakler. It's the first time I've ever seen somebody's name on the certificated rehires and twice, and so I think we'll get twice as good service. So I'll move approval of item number 8.
I'll second with my condolences and sympathies going out to Mike Rosen and the family of Mike Rosen.
No, thank you, Phil, for saying that. Okay, motion by Mark, a second by Phil. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Passes 6-0. Item 9.
I'm just pointing out that there is a revision from what was originally published, and that the value of the Los Ranchos Elementary School 11 document cameras from PTA was valued at $7,025.43. And thank you for that.
Yeah. And thank you to the rest of the folks who donated things to our schools. We're very appreciative of that. And Catherine, would you like to make a motion?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, moved by Catherine, second by Marilyn. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 6-0. Item 12.
Thank you. I just want to take this opportunity as we look at this. This includes a large amount of money for the approval of textbooks. I received an email from a large bookstore that is offering both online and rental textbooks, so I look forward in the future to hoping that the district can also participate in programs like that. And I move approval of item 12.
Mr. Miller.
Just Mark had called me about this one, and so I looked into it a little bit. And because I was really concerned, what we have is we have a moratorium on buying textbooks, essentially. And what you do see is payments to textbook manufacturers, but they're for the renewable, disposable workbooks that we have to buy every year in association with the textbooks already purchased. There are some textbooks in here, but they're like in groups of 5 or 10 in order to accommodate. It's basically in second grade. We have a bubble of enrollment coming through. We didn't have enough textbooks to service all of the kids that matriculated from first grade, so we had to buy 5 and 7 and 8 different textbooks in order to cover that bubble. So that's the approach. As Mark starts talking about the e-books, if you will, or whatever you want to call them, we are going to engage some research into technology and what that means. We'll be bringing you different pieces of information over the next year or two as we move into that arena, because clearly it's not something to be ignored.
And if I could, Mr. Millar, my note here actually says that Chris is the one that often talks about this, and I just wanted to recognize that because Chris wasn't here tonight.
All right, Marilyn.
Well, and I just wanted to say that the items that you referred to, the workbooks and what have you, those are, I know you're not familiar with the educational lexicon, so I just thought I would let you know that teachers call those consumables.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, based on my son Gordon's track record through San Luis Coastal Schools, that you're replacing a lot of lost textbooks, too. So, sorry. Yes. He's a wonderful young man. Let's see. Mark, you want to make a motion?
Yes.
Oh, you did. Okay. Anybody, did you get any garner? Oh,
I'll second.
There you go. Motion by Mark, a second by Catherine to approve item 13. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 6-0. All right. And we are down to advanced agenda, I believe. Are we? We are. Anybody have advanced agenda item? Okay, good. Let's see. Reports by board members.
Okay, really fast. Okay, here we go. I'm really proud to have been to be joining the county anti-gang task force. I was able to attend the update, and I can't even read this. On open enrollment up at the County Office of Ed. Most of all, I am very proud of a group up in Paso Robles, Paso Advocates for Children's Education. They gathered 3,000 signatures in one day standing outside near the fairgrounds, and I think it's a fine example, and other school districts and areas should try to do that. Thank you very much. I think I'm done.
What were they gathering signatures for?
I'm sorry, they took 3,000 signatures to Assemblyman Blakesley's office regarding the ongoing cuts to public education and a comment that he had made that he was not hearing from parents. Huh? So they made sure that he heard from parents.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. Anyone else? Phil.
Just thank you guys for your sympathy and support for my July absence.
You're certainly welcome, and we missed you, and we're glad you're back. And with that, the previous record of 8:03 has been shattered. Would anyone like to move adjournment? Russ? Us? We're adjourned. Thank you. Good night, everybody.